we're weekend packers, and we love that's the right. game of golf. And I think that's
I showed that. You guys that on the weekend.
Yes, 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 you did. We'll get to that shortly.
All right, guys, welcome to episode 10 of the Golf Days Australia podcast, sponsored by Cobra Puma Golf and Dint Putters. Thank you guys for your support. Broadcasting to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Anchor, and more. Remember to hit that follow button, give us a 5-star review. This week, we'll go through the 3M Open, DJ's withdrawal after carding a first round 7-over. Caddyshack is now 40 years old this week, and we'll talk about the Dint Putter competition as well. But welcome, guys. Nate, Amy, how are you this evening? Nate?
Good, mate. Good, yeah. No, another good week. Happy to be here. Plenty to talk about as usual, and a big couple of weeks coming up with the WGC and then the major that we've all been waiting for. So, yep, no, lots to talk about.
Incredible. And Amy, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Been busy. Planning, getting things ready for Thursday, my golf day, and just practicing and playing, getting ready for some tournament golf, hopefully not too far away.
Yeah, so getting excited about Thursday. Have you filled up all the spots now, or is there anything left?
There's still spots to come and play, and we've got some awesome auction items added. If people have seen, we have now
those
got...
items look awesome, Amy.
We've got some good ones, so we will be taking some phone bids. So Nate, you can place
I'm in
your
there.
Bids as well.
I'm in there. I've got an opening bid of $10 for that Hannah Green flag.
Well, there will be reserves on all items. I will state that now. But yeah, we've just had the Adam Scott golf bag added, brand new tour bag from
$12 for that one. Put me down for that, and Hannah, thank you. it's serious. That bag looks sick. It's a proper start bag. Was it Adams?
Yeah, that is actually his golf bag. It's brand new. It's not being used, but it's his golf bag. And beautiful. Yeah, it could be yours. Could be it will be someone's, as long as it goes over reserve, which is not $12.
So I'm guessing there's going to be some details maybe about the phone bidding on your socials, so Facebook, Instagram, etc.
Yep, I will put up the details on how to phone bid. It's not going to be for every item at the auction, but that will definitely be in there. The signed stuff will be in there. So I'll post it on my social media and also to the Golf Days Australia page that we all go on. So I'll post that probably tomorrow, and everyone can get involved.
Sweet. I'll be getting around that payday on Wednesday, Aim, so I'm ready to roll.
I've timed it well.
Yeah.
And what have you got about less than a month before you head off, you think?
Yeah. Haven't booked my flight as yet, but yeah, it'll be probably around about that, probably a little bit less, just probably around 3 weeks or so. Head back over. Most things are being given the green light now. So, yeah, need to get back over competing. It's been way too long.
Yeah, looking forward to tracking your progress as you get over there too. So, yeah, it's been really fortunate having you a part of the podcast for the last few weeks, and really going to look forward to watching you compete out there, and we'll keep in contact as well. We'd love to have you staying on whilst you're busy and over there. Hopefully you can join us every so often, if not every week, if you'll join us.
We'd love to have you on. Keep you guys updated, that's for sure, and see how our time difference works out.
Yeah, that's probably the
I'm not point. Committing until I find out it's like 3 a.m.
Yeah, right. Very good. But yeah, we had some more golf this week, 3M tournament, which was I don't know if let's get into it. I'm going to call it out there. It was a fairly lackluster event from my perspective. Mm-hmm. I was away for the weekend, so I didn't actually get to watch too much, but trying to keep up and watching some of the highlights, the videos were quite short on the highlights. Give us your thoughts, guys.
Yeah, it was hard, I guess, coming off, you know, Memorial and everything that Muirfield threw up for us, and how tough that course was, and having some big names up there and seeing how they battled around. It was a bit of a, you know, a come down, I guess, from that the week before, and not having the big names that we're used to. And of course, it didn't really do too much for me. I like the tougher courses, not to say that there's not a place for the, you know, minus 16, minus 17 winning tournaments. But yeah, it just didn't have that same feel to it. But in saying that, obviously life-changing for Thompson, and we'll get to that in a sec.
Yeah. So I suppose if we go through round by round, you're thinking round one, the most exciting, Nate?
Yeah, round one for me was probably the most exciting out of all four, and it probably came down to DJ making it the most exciting. Obviously, that was, you know, what most of the talk has been about, shooting a 78, withdrawing. He had his tin cut moment and put three balls in the piss on the 18th, which was his ninth hole that day. We'll touch on him later when we talk about some of the notables and what this tournament means for them, or could mean for them. But we had Richie Rurinski and Michael Thompson. They were minus eight, minus seven, and leading after round one. Finau was six under, and you start to think maybe this is his chance to, you know, get the bridesmaid tag off his shoulders. We're going to talk about that later, but, you know, you thought, okay, he's in there with a shot, and this could be his week to get that monkey off his back. Wolf was six under, defending champ, so he was playing solid. And he was mic'd up as well on Thursday, which I really liked. I thought it was fantastic, actually. So I think that's something that they should be doing. It would make Thursday and Friday's feature groups even more exciting, having a couple of those players mic'd up. I think that's something that they need to lead on to. Then we went into round two. Rurinski and Thompson stayed on top, so they finished minus 12. Finau was 11, so he's only one behind, so you knew he was going to have a big weekend one way or another. You knew it was going to be a talking point. Either he was going to go ahead and win it, or we were going to be talking about how he didn't finish the weekend off again and missing out. So he got rid of his caddy after last week, so you felt like, well, maybe this could be that transition he needed, even though it wasn't a huge tournament. Obviously, a win's a win. And then Cameron Davis was up there as well, and Wolf, and they were nine under. So it was exciting to have a young Aussie in the mix heading into round three. But, you know, along with DJ missing the cut, we had Brooks miss the cut and Fleetwood. They both ended up missing the cut. And I put some money on Fleetwood to miss the cut. So I was kind of, you know, I like Tommy, but I just felt like he was going to be a bit undercooked, I guess, coming back for his first event. So hopefully he knocked a bit of rust off and he's only going to improve from that. But yeah, that was round one and round two.
So it was your fault he got missed the cut and my tips went to the shit house.
Correct. I looked at your tips and then I bet against them. That's exactly right.
I had three out of the four miss the cut. So yeah, I had a terrible round. I have absolutely gone from penthouse to penthouse in a couple of weeks. So you know,
happens to all of us, mate.
Yeah, I'll get back in the winner's circle again soon.
Ames has got round three covered.
Yeah, so as you said, wasn't I suppose the most exciting of tournaments in terms of, I don't get to watch it live quite often, but I'll kind of know what's coming when I get to watch it because I see like on Twitter and everything, you know, what everyone's talking about, and there wasn't really anyone talking about much at all. So, I guess the golf course provided a little bit of excitement. We had the drivable par four, and then there was a really tough par three that I think played kind of even tougher than the par four, even higher. And then there was par five where sort of anything could happen. Michael Thompson, he had bit of a wild finish to round three. He lipped up for birdie on 15, then he had to get up and down on 16, made bogey on 17, then hit it in the water off the tee on 18. Still finished in the lead with 68. We got up and down from out of the bunker. Wierinski, he finished pretty strong with 4 1 putts in a row to finish his round at, he finished at 15 under in a tie for the lead. It's pretty strong for him in those holes there. Yeah, Finau, he did what he needed to do. Finished the day at 13 under. He didn't drive it well, but he kind of just got it done, got it round. Left himself in with a chance on Sunday alongside Charles Schwartzel. But, yeah, I mean, there wasn't an awful lot to really talk about. I think if you sort of tuned in for the last few holes on moving day, you would have sort of seen everything you needed to see, I think.
You're right with that Richie Werenski, but every time I seem to see him on there, he was just holing everything. So obviously that's why he was up there. You got to hold the putts, but he holed that many putts that I'd love to see his stats, because he probably will look back and go, that was one that got away when he was putting as well as he was.
Yeah, that's obviously what's going to come down to, but at least he got it going there on Saturday, at least put himself in the hunt.
In the hunt for Sunday.
And yeah, so speaking of Sunday, looking at my screen a little earlier, I got through the first 3 hours whilst having it on in the background working today, and that was a replay. I was away all weekend and I got home quite late last night, so I wasn't really going to be getting up early or staying up late to continue watching it. So I watched tried to watch through the replay, and I think, like you, Nate, said before, trying to skip through and get to some of the interesting parts, just didn't get too many of them. Finau did great on the day, and we'll talk about, you know, his bridesmaid situation, I think, in this space. He did what he could on the day to try and, you know, finish well and stay in the lead. And he was in the lead for a good portion of the day. He just couldn't finish it. Just couldn't continue it on and close it out. And Thompson came through with the goods and left, yeah, Finau holding the bouquet again. It's sad to watch him do that so often. How many top tens has he had?
Yeah, I'd like to talk about Thompson for. I just feel like Finau, he's had 30 top tens without a win since 16-17. So, you know, Tommy Fleetwood's second to that with 16. So he's nearly double second place. You know, he's only had that one win in Puerto Rico, and it's not his swing that's the issue. We all know he's got a swing that can win tournaments. You know, he proves himself week after week with these top tens. But he came into the event with 171st on tour in final round scoring. Like, I know he got in, you know, very unlucky at the Waste Management with Webb Simpson just railroaded him out of nowhere. But you can't be 171st on tour in that last round and expect to get wins. It's not going to happen. So obviously there's something there. It's not his swing. It's something mental. It's been coming for a while. We've talked about it a long time, and now it just keeps, that stat keeps getting bigger and bigger. And you got to really worry that it's becoming a thing. I know he's going to have his brother on the bag until the PGA Championship. So after that, he's going to decide, and hopefully that's a good thing for him. But it is a worry, Ames. I think you said something about the Puerto Rico Open.
I can tell you exactly why he hasn't won since then, and that's because he is cursed from the Puerto Rico Open. It is actually cursed. It's proven. No player that has won that event, which is the one event he has won, the Puerto Rico Open, no player has ever gone on to win another event on the PGA Tour.
Wow.
One exception to that, and that's Michael Bradley, who won the Puerto Rico Open again. He won that a second
time.
So, I mean, it's pretty weird. It's a weird stat, and like, it's kind of, it's a bit of an issue for him. It's cursed.
Massive.
So, that's kind of, I found that kind of funny, but I mean, you can't have 30 top tens and, you know, not be an unbelievable player. So, I don't know. I think he's going to come good. I think you can't really go your whole career in that space, playing, you know, keeping that record going. I think he's going to come good. So,
I hope so. Everyone likes Tony. Everyone loves Tony. Everyone likes Tony. Everyone, like, you know, you don't hear a bad word about him. He's a great family man, great man on tour. You want to see him win. But Yeah, it's just it's a worrying sign. You hope he does. I hope it's not. I hope he doesn't leave his legacy that he's the most ever top 10 player to only win one tournament. It wouldn't be a great thing to go down with. But anyways, we'll see how he goes. But massive day for Michael Thompson. But like, you know, you go from talking about Tony and how he's only, you know, won the one time. Michael Thompson was the same. He'd only had one previous win, and he actually beat Jeff Ogilvie in 2013 at the Honda Classic. 2,702 days since that win. He finished runner-up at the US Open in 2012, so he's been around a while. And, you know, really it's good to hear those stories and good to see guys like that win. And then to realise, like, afterwards, when they did the interview afterwards after he won, you saw how emotional he was, and not having his family there. As soon as they started talking about his family, he got two young kids. Not having them there really broke him down once he started to realise that he wished they were there. And, you know, and then when they're talking in the interview, they're like, well, you've got to change your flights now because you've got to go to the WGC next week. You're not going to the Barracuda. You're going to the WGC, which is massive. Then he realises he's in that. He's in the PGA. He's in the US Open. He's going to be in the FedEx playoffs. He's got a two-year exemption now status on tour. Like, it's massive for those guys, and massive for someone that's out there grinding away. And it's a good story. And like the Barracuda that's coming up this week, it's one of those platforms that's going to be, you know, not really well watched because we've got the WGC, but hopefully it's going to have a good story. Somebody's going to get their card, get a chance to, you know, have these bigger tournaments. So, good on Thompson. He was clutch coming down the stretch. His bunker shot on 16 was huge. If you didn't see it, He was in a greenside bunker, but the pin was tucked over way on the opposite side of the green. He had at least 30 metres to carry a ridge in the green. Otherwise, it would have fed back down. There was water behind the pin. So it was one of those moments where you just watched and you held your breath because you're like, this could be a massive, massive moment. And he stuck it to a tap in, which was just incredible. So good on him. Adam Long's 17 under. And then he had nine players. It was jam-packed at tied third for 16 under. But massive shout-out to Cam Davis. So Cameron Davis, a Sydney boy, tied 12th on minus 14. Took home 127,000K for that. Tied 12th, he took over just 200,000K when he won the Oz Open in 2017. So not a bad payday for the kid. And he was only one of eight players to break 70 for all four rounds. And he's done that. That's his third time that he's done that on a PGA Tour. He was playing great, and it was good to see a young Aussie up there in the mix.
Yeah, someone else for a change as well. J-Day has been up there a couple of times in the last month or two. So, yeah, great to see another Aussie really grinding it out and giving it his best shot. And, yeah, four rounds under 70. So he's gone 67, 66, 69 and 68 on the Sunday with only one bogey today, four birdies, fairly evenly spread out too across the day. So, yeah, grinding it out to come home tied 12th.
Yeah, and Bads wasn't too far away either. Aaron Baddeley tied 23, minus 12 as well. So good to see he's still in form. I feel like Bads has just been around forever and he's just floating around in all these PGA tournaments. So,
I was going to say, how old is he now? Like, how old is Bads?
I don't know. Well, he started when it was 99, 2000, you know, when he beat Greg Norman and when he came into the mix and won the Aussie Open as an amateur. So, he's been around for a while.
Still dresses like he's 20, though.
He does.
he loves getting in the coloured gear.
There's two guys we've got to talk about in particular before we move on. Firstly, DJ. What's going on there? He's got a bit of a niggle in his back. What was that stat that they threw up about his last few tournaments? I was saying, like, he's finally one of us. He's welcome. He's like us. He's shot plus 20 whatever in his last few rounds. Are we worried about DJ?
Not really.
I think he'll come good.
I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I think he'll come good. It's
not worried about his back.
Well, I mean, he's getting older, so yeah, of course he's going to be. And you only have to look at Tiger and what's happening there for him. And Tiger's done a lot in the past to try and adjust his swing to alleviate some of the pressure that he was placing on his back. And you watch him go through that frustrating period of adjusting to the new swing and to the new muscle memory and the momentum that was coming through it. I don't know if that's going to be a similar case for DJ. Is he going to have to make some adjustments?
Yeah, I mean, afterwards he said it was just a niggle or whatever, and he's planning to play this week at the WGC. But I thought it was brilliant. His quote afterwards when they asked him about that hole where he put, three balls in the water, and he played a poor shot on 17 before it, and that was a water ball as well. But then he hit a great drive on 18. He had 199 yards to cover, which is, nothing for him. Perfect 6 iron at 200 yards to cover, 208 yard flag. Hit it right at it. Never once did I think it was going into the water. This is DJ's quote. That never crossed my mind when it was in the air. It just went in the water. And then I hit 2 more shots in the water. And then I hit a good one and I made a tap in for 9. It's just you work that out. It was 3 balls in the water. He's playing his 4th ball and he's made a 9 on a par 5. I challenge any of those amateurs. You try and get a 4 ball 9 on a par 5 and see how you go. It's pretty impressive. really to only come away with a 9 for a tap in 9. He just wasn't going to let it go. Just drop.
I'm thankful for Stableford. I'd just be picking up. Moving on. Yep, I'll have my ball teed up when you're putting out your last one on the green, and as soon as you're done, I'm teeing up and hitting the next hole and trying to forget about the last probably 3 that I've wiped in a row.
Yeah, that's it. And that's DJ. The other one I guess we need to talk about is Brooks. Brooks Koepka. So one Koepka made the cut, and it wasn't Brooks; it was his brother. I know this is they talk about it, but it just doesn't look like he cares in these tournaments. I know they talk about he just gets up for the majors. He did great on Thursday, but couldn't hole a thing. He's pretty much last in the field with putting, and that included a 40-foot bomb on Friday. He was tossing clubs around, working on his knee, second missed cut in the last 3 events. He's only 154th in the FedEx playoffs, so it's actually in danger of missing the FedEx playoffs. You got to ask, does he care about these tournaments, or is it just, we hear that he doesn't warm up much. He just turns up, he plays, and it's not till the major time that he steps up. Do we think he's going to do that coming 2 weeks' time, PGA? He's a defending champion next week as well.
Yeah, I think he doesn't care. Like, he probably will admit that. I mean, he says golf's boring. He gets bored for, half of the round. I think it's kind of, look at his record, you can tell what he cares about and what he doesn't. I think it speaks for itself. But, I mean, if he's happy doing that and he's still making millions and millions of dollars every year and he has a few weekends off, then, go for it. If you don't want to be a player who contends every week, then that's up to you. If you don't want to be someone who turns up for the majors and you somehow know how to do that and win, then,
More power to you. Because they always talk about, that you're not a real player until you win a major. And, it doesn't matter how many PGA events you've won, you've got to win a major to really stamp your name. And it's the complete opposite with Brooks. We talk about, he doesn't give a shit for the other tournaments. Yeah, good on you. You can win majors when you want. Because he's even been on record saying that majors are easier to win, he reckons. But it's just, I just find it bizarre. And it's just, he's an interesting character, interesting career so far. And I don't know, it just looked like on Friday he didn't want to be there at all.
Would you rather be Finau or Brooks?
Oh, hell no. I'm taking Brooks all day.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be interesting looking at their career money. Oh, Brooks, I'm sure, is doing pretty well. But it'd be very interesting to see, how much Finau's won in prize money compared to Brooks. But, Brooks has got those bigger trophies in there. So
Tony Finau's had 1 win, but he is a walking ATM. Like, he is breaking it in with all those top 10s.
Yeah, he knows how to cash, that's for sure. So, but yeah, it'd be interesting. I think there's a few players to really start to keep your eyes on, especially with WGC leading into the PGA, which I guess we'll talk about in a bit.
Yeah, cool. So I suppose on that note, well done to Michael Thompson. Great victory.
Yep.
My takeaway for the tournament itself was Charles Schwartzel's swing. And that hat, channeling the great white shark with that hat. His swing was butter. I think I've missed watching Adam Scott being out on tour, and it's just so effortless watching him swing through the ball, and it just goes for miles. But Charles Schwartzel has a fairly similar swing where that swing plane pretty much stays the same the whole way back, and it's almost on the identical line on the way back down as well. It's like butter. It's like a nice
butter. And you notice today when he stuck his follow through and held that follow through, it was just beautiful. And he got out of sync a couple of times and kind of threw off the finish and held out the finish, and they were his bad shots. But how good was his hat? Seeing him wearing that Kubra, they mentioned it that many times on there, but yeah, I didn't even know who it was at first when I saw it. And I was so excited to see that hat out there. I thought it was brilliant. Bit of character in there, and he took it off a couple of times. He drained a long putt or whatever, and he took it off to tip the hat. So, Charles, it's good to see him playing some good golf.
Any other notes coming out of the?
I like seeing meltdowns. I just love seeing, like, you know, we had Bryson the week before just hitting ball after ball out of bounds, and then we've had DJ this week hitting ball after ball in the water. I think it all started when I saw John Daly do it at the Australian Open at the Lakes, when he just kept putting ball after ball in the 11th hole at the Lakes, and
he walked off,
and then he just walked off and left. I think Craig Parry at the time just to finish the round out by himself, and I remember being there with Dad, and that was a great moment, and it's just good to see players have mini meltdowns and just kind of lose focus. And DJ wasn't going to let this hole beat him, and he ended up hitting it to a tap in, and that's probably all he cares about in the end.
Finish strong, right? Finish strong.
Ames, any takeaway from it? What do you think?
Well, you mentioned there was a Koepka playing on the weekend, and I think Chase Koepka, easy for me to say. I think he shot like 63 on Sunday. I think it was 63. So
he did.
That's a great finish. So
shot 8 under to finish and finished in tied 26. That's massive. 63.
Yeah, that's
on that day.
A big leap up the leaderboard. So maybe we'll have two Koepkas out there every week at some point. That's a great finish.
He opened with a 29. So front nine was a 29. So pretty good for him to have that week, I guess, away from his brother missing the cut, and then him, doing proud for the Koepka family. He looks just like him as well. Well, yeah, I think he's got a bit to do.
Yeah.
It's a big shadow as well. Brooks is pretty solid.
What else was happening around the world of golf in this last week?
Just on Aussie Watch, obviously we had Cam Davis and Bads doing well in the PGA, but Korn Ferry as well. Jamie Arnold was the only one to make the cut there. He had a T21. He opened with a 65 on that opening round, so that set him up for a good tournament. So good work to James. We had the British Masters, which I believe Ames saw a bit of. Ryan Fox, T8 there. Scrivs and Jake McLeod, they also made the cut. And we had the Symetra Tour back on as well, Amy.
Yeah, first week back for the Symetra Tour. Only a couple of Aussies over there. Julianne Sue, it was her first Symetra event as a pro. I think she turned pro at the end of the year, went to Q school, and obviously with everything that's happened, hasn't had a chance to get out and play on the Symetra yet. So first go at it for her and Stefna, and they both finished tied 42nd at one over.
The Symetra, so do they just have a three round? Is that normally just a three round tournament?
Yeah, they just do 3 day events.
Do they have a cut?
I think it just works out. Yeah, they have a cut. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Just works out cheaper to put the event on for 3 days, and
Okay.
Their entry fees are massive on the Symmetra Tour, and there's a lot of costs. So, yeah, just 3-day ones, and it's the pretty stiff competition normally. So, yeah, it's tough out there, that's for sure.
Yeah, cool.
All right, so a bit happening around the world on the Aussie watch, which is good to see. It's great to see some more results coming through from the Aussies. And into the Golf Days Australia group highlights we go. We'll kick off into the tipping results. So tipping is sponsored by Birds of Condor. Thanks for your support as well, guys. They've been chucking in hats for this tipping comp for a good period of time now as well. So thanks for all your support there. And we have a winner in Alan Hart. So you've bagged yourself $100 and a Birds of Condor hat of your choice. Second went to Graham Cowling. $65 prize money there, and third was Rick Parker at $35 there. Nate, I think you grabbed a bit of a note out a little earlier on the winning combination.
For those that might be listening and don't know, so with the Golf Days Australia, we do have a tipping group where we pick four players each week, and we take the total of their results in that that tournament, and basically, you know, best scores obviously going to win, but Alan Hart went wide this weekend and went Sepp Straka, Harris English, Tony Finau, and Ryan Moore, and ended up getting the bickies with that. So really good picking from Alan there, and going wide with, you know, Sepp Straka, Graham Cowling just behind, and he had Fratelli, Homer, Wolf, and List, which is a pretty wide combo as well. So, yeah, tipping's always fun. Heaps of banter in there. Some good cash and prizes as well that we're giving away. So it's not hard to get involved.
And then onto our GDA Tour tipping comp, sponsored by the Golf Factory. For the punters out there, it's a season-long tipping comp, costs $1 to $2 a week, and all you have to do is pick one player. If your player wins, you take the cash and a chance of winning a box of balls from the Golf Factory. This week it jackpotted as no one tipped the winner. However, Mark Watts picks up a box of Pro V1s for his troubles. Next week's jackpot for the World Golf Championship is $156. If you want to get involved, guys, head on into our other Facebook group, GDA Tour, and go check it out. Speaking of competitions, Dint Putters came on board as a sponsor of the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and we've run a competition that's now closed. We had a like, share, and tag a mate who can't putt competition in our Facebook group. It's really tough for people to grasp the concept of this. You got to like, you got to share, and you got to tag a mate who can't putt.
Please don't take offense to that, anyone that's listening and struggled with those three steps.
We had 78 likes on the original post, 125 comments, and 99 shares. So a bit of a mixed bag there. But essentially, what that means is
one of those people that couldn't get that. He wouldn't have understood how that works.
100%. Does he even have a Facebook profile? He's on Instagram, but
Yeah.
So yeah, there's 78 entries essentially for this. So you got 1 in 78 chance of winning a Phoenix putter. So thanks very much for Dint Putters again for donating a putter for this competition. We will be drawing this. If you're listening to this later in the week, then it'll already have been drawn. We're going to draw it tomorrow night in our live chat after we've had a great catch up with Dimi Papadatos. So that one's going to be a cool one. But yeah, we'll do the live draw on our live chat on Tuesday tomorrow, which should be fun. The other thing that I wanted to make mention of with Dint Putters, they also do hole-in-one flags as well. So I was up in Foster over the weekend catching up with my old man and a bit of the family, and my old man's had a couple of hole-in-ones. Congratulations, old man. Thank you. I've not had one yet on a regulation course.
So we won't talk about that.
He's had a couple of hole-in-ones, so I'm going to...
There's a big hole, par three, hole-in-one.
Nate hasn't had one at all, so we won't even go.
Mate, I've had plenty in chip and putt and putt, but you know, you don't hear me claiming them.
Yeah, good call. So moving on, hole in one flags from Dint Putters. So they get your logo from your golf course, provided permission is there to use your logo. They give you a actual flag from a pin, and yeah, put your club's logo on there and do put the details in there embroidered onto the flag. It looks really nice. So I'm gonna, and hopefully old man's not listening to this, but I'm gonna, as a surprise, get one organized for him. And doesn't have to be a recent one either. That's the beauty of this. If you've had a hole in one, even though if it was, you know, 10, 20 years ago, whatever, you can still hit up Dint Putters. They've got them online. You can go onto their website, dintputters.com.au, and enter all the details that you need to. They'll seek permission from the golf club to use the logo, etc. But yeah, you can put all your details of the hole in one, what ball you used, the date it was, the length of the hole, where it was, etc., etc. So, yeah, they actually look really, really nice. So I'm going to get the old man one as a bit of a surprise for him. So, yeah, good little present for him. And then any other highlights from you guys within the Golf Days Australia group?
Yeah, I just want to throw a quick one out there. Craig Yule is a new member, and he posted a photo up of his mate Jimmy, who wasn't far off, he isn't far off 91 years old. He was in some bright red flower pants, plays off 27, loves a joke apparently. And I don't know, just epitomizes, I guess, what I love about this game. You know, the fact that all ages can play it, anyone of all abilities, all handicaps. I know we've had the post in the past about people getting cheesed off because of someone off 54s winning their tournament or whatnot. But at the end of the day, the best thing about our game is, you know, compared to any other sport, all ages you can play. You can play against the world's best, and you can be competitive. We can go and have a game against Amy and have a competition. We can have a match. I can't go and play Roger Federer in tennis, and he goes, "Oh, I'll give you a few points." He's going to wipe the floor. I'm not going to be able to return one serve of his. So I love that about the game. I love seeing, you know, all the characters that are playing, all the people, all abilities, all ages. I know a few guys out here that play with their dads, and there's a guy at Leeton that regularly beats his age, and I think it's brilliant. And, yeah, good on you, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's a good feat at your age.
I've been playing, me and Lydia Hall, another LET player, we've been playing with one of our friends up at up in Brisbane, and he plays off about 7. He's an ex-rugby player, so he's very competitive. And my God, like, we have the most intense matches you've ever seen. Like, you would think it's a US Open on the line. And yeah, we played today and it came down to the final putt on the 18th. So he wasn't being a bandit with his handicap for once. But yeah, and we play, his wife, she plays off like in the 30s, and I'd love having her on my team because then you get the extra shots and get to utilize them. But it's that's exactly it. Like, what other sport can you have that? And yeah, we've encouraged her to play a bit more golf, and we've just had, it's actually quite good tournament practice for us, because playing off 7, if he makes a par, then, you know, we have to make a birdie. If he gets a shot hole, or, you know, if he makes a birdie, there's nothing really we can do about it. So yeah, it's, we've been enjoying that. And you know, yeah, you can have a serious competition pretty much against anyone who plays golf. That's the beauty of it.
I'd happily play against you, Amy, but you got to be off +3. None of this scratch stuff. +3.
No. We have inquiries into the handicaps before we begin every round.
I love it. It must be the same at every course. There's always arguments about the handicap and that. So, but yeah, like, it just, we're all about enjoying golf, like we said, while we partnered up with Puma, and that epitomized it to me. So good on you, Craig, for being a new member and posting, and good on Jimmy.
Yeah, love Jimmy's bright red flower pants.
Oh, though. Mate, how good are they? Jesus.
Cool. And into some of our own golf. Did you get out on the weekend, Nate?
No, unfortunately I didn't, mate. I was on daddy daycare. So the wife's 32 weeks pregnant, and she got a little girls trip away to Canberra for the weekend. So I had to do the dad thing. I looked after the kids, and little boy had his first swimming lesson without me in the pool one. So that was just as awesome moment, and just as good as playing. But in saying that, we're back this weekend. We've got monthly middle on Saturday, and we've got the Leeton Open on Sunday. So looking forward to that one.
Very good. And you, Amy, did you get out?
Not on the weekend. The weather here was horrendous.
I was going to say, what do you mean? She gets out every day.
I know. Normally it would be yes.
Took the weekend off to watch footy.
I did sneak in a game of footy around the corner watching the Titans. But yeah, we had horrendous weather on the Gold Coast, which is not normally what I'm used to saying. Absolutely slammed down. We had like a month's worth of rain and the course was under. So no, played today, played Friday, but didn't actually play on the weekend. So had a bit of a rest.
Fair enough. I mentioned before I got up to Foster to visit the family and visit the old man, and got out to play Tuncurry as well. It's a championship golf course. I had a look.
I can't believe this.
Yeah, what's that?
The what you're about to say with the slope rating.
Yeah, I know. I've played there a few times. I've played there a fair few times in the years growing up. That was actually the first course I beat my dad at, which I was pretty chuffed about. But I really don't understand this. The slope rating is 116. I don't understand how it's that low. It is a really, really tight course. The fairways are actually really tight, so that all the lies that you get on the fairways are real bone tight. And if you miss the fairway, you have to miss it by a fair way to get, no pun intended, to actually have a shot back. If you miss the fairway just and you're in the tree line, good luck finding your ball. Yeah. You won't find your ball. If you do find your ball, you'll have no shot out and you'll have to take an unplayable, take a drop or... It's really ridiculous. I don't understand.
Great track.
So I went up there. I specifically wanted to have a game at Tuncurry because they've got the mid-amateur coming up at the back end of the year. Ryan Dent, my mate, is looking to enter that, and I'm going to caddy for him. So I wanted to actually get a few notes. And funnily enough, Ryan, my mate, is a left-hander and plays off single figures. And Dad actually paired us up with a left-handed single figure player over the weekend. He's sort of getting on 60, I think, but yeah, still single figure player. And it was actually really cool to watch him go around as well and manage the course in the way he did. It started really, really well. But yeah, as we made the turn, I think by around the 11th hole, it started to rain. It wasn't heavy, but it was just annoying enough to make me wipe a few more holes. But yeah, what it lacks in water, it more than makes up for it in unplayable foliage if you're just in the tree line. So I really don't understand it. A lot of the residents don't understand why it's such a low slope rating as well. So yeah, I think I came home with 25 points. Not that I've been playing great golf lately, but I came home with 25 points and my tail between my legs. So I only lost one ball though. That was the win for me. I heard from Double Par over the weekend. He actually lost a fair few balls in his play over the weekend. So,
what a shame.
Yeah. but yeah, only one ball lost over the weekend. So I was actually pretty happy about that one.
Speaking of Double Par.
sorry, just quickly. The Women's New South Wales Open is actually at Tuncurry next year.
Yes.
Yes. So nice. You'll have to send some notes over. Maybe I can start selling them.
Need a caddy?
Oh, you got him before me. I was just about to say that.
I'd happily caddy for you. And I'll have played Tuncurry a fair few times between now and then, but just saying.
He won't know the spots that you want to go to, but he'll know what it looks like off the tee.
I will, because Amy probably gets further than me anyway. So I didn't get the driver out on the first four holes. You couldn't. And the dog legs on the map, it looks like you can actually go and cover the dog leg without any issue. You get there and the tree line is like 40 feet high right at the tee box. So there's no way you're going to get over. You're going to have to yeah, hit a cut or a draw to get to the get around.
Amy,
the
ball. Amy's a pro. Just to let you know, Steve. Just because you didn't use driver on the first four holes doesn't necessarily mean Amy can't.
Yeah, talking about tail between my legs.
Practicing my cuts and my draws.
Beautiful, beautiful. Cool, yeah, so the segue was almost there. Double Par has another rant of the week. This one should be pretty fun. It actually goes for a couple of minutes, Nate, just a full disclaimer.
Oh, Jesus. So wake me up. Someone wake me.
Let's have a little listen to Double Par.
Double Par here. I should have some extra time up my sleeve this week. No beefcake dribble, I'm sure. But, mate, thanks for the plug, Nate, on the old interweb thing there last week. Just an update. I'm up to 41 followers, so I'm thinking your own sponsorship deal, something like that Puma one that you managed to jag, eh? Good job there, boys. Anyway, quick update on the old Double Par members. We got some new ones this week. Unfortunately, Australia's own Rain Gibson and the old snowman on 7 there. Not very good, but welcome to the club, champion. But the winner, the one that took the cake this week, was Denmark's own Sebastian Kapellen. 3 double pars in 1 round. Dead set, he is my pin-up boy. Love you, bloke. He had a snowman on the 7th as well. Yeah, another snowman. Hey, a little bit of winter happening there on the 11th. And then he finally decided to finish off his round with a big double figure 10 on 18. Did a Bryson. Mate, you are the pin-up boy for the double par Instagrammy webby thing. And I just want to give you a big shout-out, Sebastian, because, mate, I tagged in that post and you liked it. You're a dead set good bloke. So well done. But on to me rant. I don't know if it's a rant. Played around last week with a bit of a chopper. One of the brothers of one of the boys in the studio there. Eh? Yeah, not going to say who it was. But,
oh, here we go.
Was the Better Homes brother. Anyway, mate, this bloke dead set cannot play. But can I say he frustrated the crap out of me with his little chipper club. Well, as you know, the club doesn't know if it's a bloody putter or a wedge or a hybrid or whatever it is. Anyway, mate, this bloke could not get off the tee, but anything inside 50 metres, dead set stiffed it. And it just frustrated the hell out of me. But it got me thinking, that's the beauty of golf, isn't it? Like, doesn't matter how you get there. You don't have to draw any maps. It's just a matter of putting that score on the card. So if you want to use a chipper or a bloody 7-wood or, you know, any of those other whacked-out clubs, mate, just go for it. That's what golf's all about. That's my rant. That's my update for the week, boys. I'll see you next week. Double par because it sounds better than a 10.
There we go. He's gone off on chippers.
Double pars back out again. Can we, before we get into the chipper thing, I think he was blocked by Bryson as well on Insta in his first week of being on social media. So double par doing great things in the interweb world, as he called it. And I loved it that the guy liked it after he hammered him for the 3 double pars. How good is that?
That's awesome. I've been enjoying his Instagram so much.
It's one of the better ones out there.
I think someone posted a question underneath one of them is, what would you call someone that has a double par on 3 of the holes, but they're a par 3, a par 4, and a par 5? So if they have a 6, an 8, and a 10 on in the one round, what would you call it? Like, you know, bowling's got the perfect game sort of thing, turkey or whatever you want to call it for that many strikes.
3 but, yeah. strikes, the hat trick, yeah. and all the rest of it. Yeah, yeah.
What would you call it if someone had a double par and a par 3, 4, and 5?
Do you like the mega par?
Man, that's yeah. You wouldn't want that title.
Not at all.
But I love what are you saying about the chippers and I'm going to cop it here again because this was the white pants thing where I said I had white pants one time and I've never worn them, even though the tag may have fallen off them. I don't know where the tag went, but the tag's gone off them. Yeah. But I had a chipper, and I had a chipper when I first started. No, I was first started playing and I couldn't chip at all. And then I remember somebody else I met that was off a similar handicap let me have a little go of this thing around the greens. And, yeah, the club's confused. It doesn't know what it is, 7-iron putter. But I used it and it worked for me. I really struggled around the greens. But now anyone that I see playing with, if they're below a 20 handicap and they've got a chipper in their bag, you just got to shake your head and just keep it to yourself and move on.
I was holding up one as Nate was talking there. I've got one here that is actually my brother's, which is who double par is actually going on about, because my brother went and bought a new chipper.
Oh, yes, brilliant.
A brand new chipper.
Look, Michael Thompson had a 7-wood in the bag. So it doesn't matter what you've got in the bag. He had a 7-wood and won a PGA Tour. So, you know, if a chipper works for you, then go for it. But I think you got to kind of work out your wedge game eventually. You can't play for a chipper and get down to single figures, I don't think. I'll probably be wrong. I'm sure there's single figures out there that use a chipper because they get the shanks or, you know, get the yips around the green. But I think eventually you got to work out your wedge game. Ames, have you ever mucked around with a chipper?
I haven't, and I actually, when I see people using them, I'm not mad about it. Like, I think they're quite good.
They're smart.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I don't think they're for low handicappers. I don't think you can really, improve your short game with one, but it's a bit of a band-aid fix that kind of works.
Yeah, you're probably going to hit it to that 10, 12 feet range every time instead of getting it real close.
Yeah,
like you're just trying to get it down there.
Old fellas just kind of walk up and they just
bump it down
this
there.
Little chipper, and it just rolls up near the hole. And I'm like, that was kind of good.
Yeah.
I'm like, where'd you get that? But I think it's a bit of a band-aid fix. I don't know if it's quite a long-term thing if you've got the chipping yips, so maybe whip it out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently, this is what my brother was saying about it on the weekend. He had the shanks off the tee box, and I think he said he had he played 9 holes, and every single tee box except for one maybe he shanked off the tee, and then he pulled his chipper out for his second and put it to a foot, 2 foot on every single hole. So he had tap in pars, but it was a pars recourse.
I mean, they're going to work in. There's going to be spots where you've got to flop one over a bunker and get it to stop with no green to work with, and your chipper ain't going to work then. So I think that's when, if you're on the fringe and you're just off the edge or whatever, then it's awesome. But there's obviously some situations where the chipper ain't going to cut it.
Yeah.
But double par, another good one from double par. I liked it.
Locked away, keep them coming. That's awesome.
But yes, he's got no chance of Puma helping him out at all, just to let him know now. So he needs to find his own sponsors.
You got a hypothetical for us, Nate?
Oh, yeah. I just I heard this one the other day, and I just wanted to throw this out there, and I thought listeners kind of get interested in this stuff as well. I'm always up for a hypothetical. How much right now, it probably depends on your financial situation, but how much would you pay to be able to play at Augusta Golf Course? So to play where the Masters is, where we've all watched and idolized, and just one day just somehow would love to play there, which is not going to happen. How much would you fork out, and would your family, partners, wives let you spend out of the kitty? And I want everyone that's listened to this to think about it.
It's a relative question, I suppose, to depending on the wealth of the person.
So what would you get $10,000 for a round?
That's easy on. I'd be putting 10 grand on it for sure. Yeah, tick it off the bucket list. I'd throw 10 grand at easy.
Amy, you just made a pretty good face then.
Oh my God. 10 grand? 10 grand? 10 grand. No way. No. I don't know. It's not really something that I've thought about is of being on my bucket list. I want to go and watch the Masters. To play it would be pretty amazing, but I'm not putting down a wad of cash for it.
Well, okay, so I think they're starting they're starting to play the girls' amateurs. I think the US women's amateurs, I think, are starting to play over there. So maybe, I don't know, maybe, I don't know. I think for myself, it would be quite a bit of money. And if you were guaranteed it was going to be a beautiful day and it was going to be perfect weather, yeah, I'd be, I think, 10 grand I'd be putting down.
Yeah, I'd be throwing 10 grand at it easy. If someone came up to me in the street and said, give me 10 grand, I'll take you to Augusta now and you can have a round, I'd be like, sweet, where's the nearest ATM?
And where does it stop? What if someone said 20 grand?
Mate, if you could guarantee that the weather was brilliant, I'd throw 100 at it.
100,000?
Yep, I'd throw 100 at it. Like, I would love to play Augusta. It is one of those courses for me I'd have to play. I got to play it before I die. I have to. It's on the bucket list. It's got to happen. And if I'm terminally ill, 74, I'm throwing 100 grand at it easy. Not a problem. Like, but I'm obviously not terminally ill on 74. So 10 grand.
That 10 grand was a bargain.
Amy was losing it over 10 and we've just jumped it up to 100K. Man, that's an interesting remortgage conversation with the other half anyways, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, it's got to happen at some stage.
I'd be divorced, but it would be a great round at Augusta. So, and even better. But the only other thing I thought about this before, and it was like it's completely different if you get to play with your buddies, or if you get to play alone. You couldn't go to Augusta and play alone. You'd love it. There'd be nothing better than to take your mates over and play with three mates in a group over there. At least one other mate. You need someone to take photos of you out there instead of taking selfies the whole time along the course. So, yeah, it was an interesting one. That's my hypothetical for the week. We'll leave it there.
Be interesting. 400 grand now if you're taking three.
No, it's 100 grand. It's got to include your buddies now.
And some of the
I reckon some people have just nearly crashed their car listening to that.
Some of the Masters Week food would be thrown in. It'd have to be thrown in. But that food's cheap enough, apparently.
That's cheap. That's like $2. You don't need to worry about that. You're 100 grand out.
Okay, well, here's a follow-up. What about if nobody knew that you played the Augusta and you couldn't tell anyone?
Because when you go to Augusta, you can't take your phones or cameras or anything like that in there. I know for Masters, when you're watching, you can't do that. That's what I mean. So, obviously, in this scenario, you can take photos.
In this scenario, you're not allowed to. So, yeah, so this scenario, you're not allowed to tell anyone. Nobody will ever know that you've played Augusta.
No. I'd be paying more for the privilege to be able to tell people that I've played it.
100%. So that's what that's what it's all about now. Yeah, for telling everyone else.
Yeah, so I'd pay 105 grand. I'd throw an extra five at it just so I could tell people.
Awesome. I'm going to come up with some more. I want people to throw hypotheticals at me. I love talking about them.
But, that's a good one. Moving on, we've got the World Golf Championship coming up this weekend. So a lot of the big guys are back in contention. Thoughts on the WGC guys?
Side note as well, we've got the Barracuda, so the PGA still goes on. So WGC is obviously not the PGA. So PGA still got Barracuda. That's the event that Chalmers won in 2016, which we interviewed Greg and talked to him about that event that he won. That's the modified Stableford event. Morikawa got his win there and kind of got started. So Again, it won't be something that I'll be watching nonstop, but obviously I'll be keeping an eye on it, and it, you know, it gives a winner the spot in the US Open and everything else that comes along with it. Martin Keimer, his first start to the season is going to be there as well, so at Tahoe Mountain Club, so in California. So something to keep an eye on there, but obviously everyone's going to be focused on WGC. The Invitational Memphis, 45 out of the top 50 players, no cut event, so you know you're going to be seeing everybody the whole time. TPC Southwind, Adam Scott, where is he? He's missing. Tiger's missing. Justin Rose is missing. They're the only three out of the top 30. So, you know, going into PGA Championship the following week as well, Brooks defending champ. It's going to be interesting to watch and then see if who can build on that momentum to go through to the PGA. Tips, Rahm, Bryson. Oh, well, it's going to be good.
What are your tips, Amy?
My tips, I'm pushing out some good vibes to Tony Finau, and I want this to be the one that he closes.
He's got to break a hoodoo.
Yeah, I feel like if he wins one, it could open the floodgates. And so I'm sending out the vibes for him. I'm going to also go Abraham Ancer and Sungjae Im. Didn't want to go too obvious, but I feel like they're pretty strong picks.
Yeah, I picked Sungjae a lot last year or last season, and he's fallen off the radar a little bit this year. Like, he was Mr. Consistent in terms of making cuts for a long time there. And he's sort of fallen off the radar. But hopefully, yeah, this week is going to be a good week for him. I love the pick, Abraham Ancer, so that's a good one. I'm not going to steal it, but I am going to rate it.
He's very sneaky good.
Yeah. He's sneaky good.
Very, very sneaky. So what about you, Nate?
Look, it goes without saying that Beefcake is going to be up there. But for the purpose of my actual tips for the week, I'm picking Xander. Xander, I've got him and Hovland as my two picks there. But Xander, three out of his four wins have been at no-cut events. So he likes events that don't have a cut. He obviously feels a bit less pressure because there is no cut. They all get a really good payday out of it. So, I think he's there and, you know, consistency. Hovland has been the most consistent this season so far, especially since we've come back. So I think I'd love to see him have a win. But, yeah, I think Xander or Hovland. But, you know, Beefcake's always lurking. Anything could happen this week with the Beefcake. Anything could happen. I don't think they've announced the pairings yet, but, Brooks, Beefcake, just give it to us.
Please.
For everyone, for the whole Twitter world will be crazy.
Is he going to bounce back from his week off and his double par? I'm going to stick with JT. I'm going to throw him in there. I'm actually going to go Webb Simpson. And I'll throw Rahm and Rory into my squad. From a smoky perspective, I'm going to throw Jordan Spieth out there as a smoky.
You picked 25% of the field.
Yeah. Yeah, about that. Well, no, I'm talking about my actual tips. There's four there in the tips. So I've thrown four in there as a smoky. I'd like to see Spieth get back up into the winner's circle. He's enjoying his golf this year. And yeah, I'd love to see him back up in the winning ranks.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get excited about Webb Simpson. I know I say it every time, but that guy is so boring. And I think I picked him a couple of times and just didn't like it because I don't like watching him play. So Webb Simpson, and you know what? He'll go and he'll win it. He just does his thing and he's just boring and he'll win.
But this one's for you, Nate.
What? Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. But you look at the lineup this week and it is exciting. It's starting to get exciting. You know, next week we're going to talk about the PGA Championship. We've got a major coming as well. So it's exciting times. And looking down at the list and who's playing, it is the best of the best. And it's going to be good TV no matter what course they're playing at because you're getting the best players in the world there. So it'll be a good one to watch.
All right. Any last notes before we wrap up for the evening?
I'm very excited to see if we get any double pars this week. It's my new thing now. I am looking out for double pars. I was disappointed that DJ when he stuck that to and tap it in for a nine, that crushed me because double par would have been all over it. So just I'm on the double par watch at the moment.
Especially as he exit stage left.
I was going through the whole Instagram, even though I know what's coming. It's just going to be a scorecard with like big squares on it. And then every time it just gets me. I think Captain's like perfect. I'm like loving it.
Yeah. He's found his niche, I'm telling you.
41 followers. We got to get him up there a little bit more. Go follow Double Par on Instagram. His handle is _DoublePar. So yeah, go check out our man Double Par. That'd be fun.
And obviously go like the Golf Days Australia one as well while you're there. Get around it.
Absolutely. Okay, and on that note, we wrap up another week of the Golf Days Australia podcast. Thanks to Dint Putters and Cobra Puma Golf, as well as Birds of Condor and the Golf Factory for sponsoring our tipping comps this year. Thanks, guys, for all your support. We really appreciate it and getting some great gear out there for our members. That's another episode done, guys. Enjoy golf. Take it easy, and we'll see you next time on the Golf Days Australia podcast.
Go Beefcake. Beefcake's back.
Hey, guys.
We're three golf tragics. We're weekend hackers, and we love to go to golf. And I think
I showed you guys that on the weekend.
Yes, you did. We'll get to that shortly.